That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it's a slightly disappointing start to the season with a 3-2 defeat away at Stoke City. But to help me talk through it, I've been joined by Matt Lansley. Hi, Matt.
Afternoon, Paul.
And I've also been joined by Alex Everson. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Paul. Good to be here.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, talking about a defeat, but there were plenty of positive. But one thing that was absolutely massive about yesterday, Matt, was the return of fans into the grounds properly, not the 2,000 and the 3,000, whatever we saw last season, and away matches. How was it actually watching the Mighty Rolls again?
Yes, it was brilliant. It was great to be back amongst fans. As you could probably tell, my voice is still suffering a little bit from yesterday. It was just a great day. You know, the result wasn't what we wanted, but just having a Saturday back, you know, going to an away game, supporting Reading, and yeah, it was just an air of normality, which we've been craving for so long, which was just so nice to have back.
Yeah, I'm sure you back up all those thoughts there, Alex, on the adventure of going to an away game yesterday. And who would think that we'd ever be at the point of being excited of going to Stoke City away?
Yeah, it's you don't really get excited about going to Stoke very often. And it's some of the things that you miss about going to away games you just don't, obviously, you wouldn't ever notice. It's like yesterday we stopped at a service station and saw hundreds of fans of different clubs at a service station after the game. And you don't see that every day otherwise, do you? It's a nice feeling to be back at football. And yeah, the atmosphere yesterday was pretty top notch from the Reading end for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're going to football, isn't it? It's the match that gets in the way of a good day out, isn't it? And maybe yesterday, after on the way back, it was a bit of a longer journey if we'd managed to hold on to that 2-2. But in the starting lineup, we obviously saw multiple changes with Omar Richards having left the club, and Michael Elise, as we all know. Ijaria was also out, which was not a good situation for us, which meant our left-hand side was very inexperienced. We had Bristow there playing a more advanced role than he normally would. We had McIntyre at left back. And we also had Aziz starting his first match in the league, who I thought was excellent. But what are your thoughts there, Matt, when you saw the lineup?
The starting lineup was, well, barring Ajar, it's pretty much all we've got really at the moment, isn't it? Realistically, you know, so the starting lineup was okay. The bench, only seeing five subs, that was a worry. Obviously not really seeing much quality on the bench either. But I mean, it was good. It was good to see, obviously, Aziz, he's been looking obviously good in pre-season. Obviously come on to it, but obviously did very well yesterday as well. But yeah, I think the main thing was that it's kind of highlighted what we thought before, where you get one injury in this team and it looks very, very thin. You know, Ajari comes out and we've now got a very botched left-hand side.
What do you think, Alex, George Puss is going to be feeling about the fact that Aziz has come straight into the team and he's not playing? Obviously, he was a big signing for us. It'd be interesting to, you know, see how he's thinking about that one.
I guess if Puskás is concerned, I guess we all know that his favoured position is going to be playing through the centre up front. And we did see him play a little bit out wide last season, but I don't know if he really offers that much out wide. It it's difficult to see whether he'd really offer anything that Aziz couldn't. And I feel like if you're then going to push Gas on to start the game and have Aziz on the bench, it's another kind of, you end up having an even less experienced bench, which given the conversations around how thin the squad is and how we really need to kind of make that depth, you know, put some depth into the squad, you at least want somebody on the bench who has got a little bit of experience, I think. And to give Aziz credit, I don't really think that Puskás could have done a better job yesterday out wide.
Yeah, I thought Aziz was excellent. Lot of pace, directness. He's a confident young player. I think there's a lot of positives to take from him, Matt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We like we've said, we saw glimpses in pre-season, really, of what he could do. Had a very good or pretty good game last week against Palace as well. Looked very confident playing in the first 11, really. And I think hopefully that game yesterday will give him a lot of confidence. You know, being I think it was his Championship debut as well, or his first start anyway. So hopefully that will give him quite a bit of confidence to really kick on from here. Because I think, you know, really we're going to need all the players we can get. And if we've got, you know, a good player coming out of the academy system like him, it could prove invaluable, really, for us going forwards.
Yeah, totally. Well, start of the match was quite scrappy, wasn't it, Alex? There wasn't that much kind of opportunities for most team. Nick Powell had an early shot there for Stoke City, which was quite easily dealt with. Aziz had his shot, which I don't think he could have done much more. That was a good effort, but the goalie should probably save that. Did you feel that Stoke were about to score when they got their first goal there, Alex?
No. Being honest, it didn't. The game felt fairly even. We'd had one decent chance, which was well saved. They'd had a chance, but neither team really seemed on top particularly. I don't know who won the foul. I think it might have been Vrančić, and Moore definitely has his arm over Vrančić, but Vrančić has both of his arms wrapped around Moore, which kind of forces Moore's arms up over the top of him for the free kick. And I can't see how the referee's really given it as a yellow card, and even giving it as a foul against Liam Moore seemed not a good decision from where I was standing. I haven't seen a replay of the actual foul yet, but it didn't look like a great decision. The free kick itself, the defending is not fantastic, let's say. I think you can, if you see it back, and Nick Powell basically kind of ghosts in at the back post a little bit, and there's actually two Stoke players there, and it looks a little bit like Yeardom's lost his man on the back post. Whether they're man marking, whether they're zonal marking, I've no idea. But it was all a bit too easy. The ball's gone right across the goal, and it's really a very, very easy finish for Nick Powell at that point. Raphael can't do anything about it when Nick Powell's 3 yards out.
He absolutely loves scoring against us, Nick Powell, doesn't he? He just sees Reading and thinks, yeah, there's a goal coming here. Just players have these kind of teams. And you look, I'm talking about the free kick there. I had the advantage of being able to see it. And I think, I'm not sure. It looked like one of those ones when they were both holding each other. And I definitely don't agree that it was a yellow card. I think Vrančić has made the most of that, which most players would. We'd do exactly the same down the other end. But it's a good three kick in, but we should have defended better there. But we have a reply immediately. John Swift gets an equaliser. Really good finish from a tight angle there, Matt.
Yeah, I'm quite actually glad I've been able to see it back as well, because at the time I thought it was Lucas Schau scoring. I don't quite know how. it was a lovely, lovely little finish. How he rounds the keeper and just sticks in, you know, from a yard from the byline, you know, but it's what Swift can do. It was very opportunistic, you know. It came from obviously a very poor back pass from Stoke, but I mean, it was just the response we wanted, you know. Away end went into absolute raptures as well. We were losing our minds, and we had hope again to shortly be quashed afterwards.
It is awful defending by Stoke.
It is shocking.
That has got to be said. You know, the ball bounces around in the area.
But just cutting in there, really good work from Aziz to get in behind them initially.
That was one thing that Aziz did quite a few times yesterday. As he did run in behind the wing back and run, like, give that option in behind. And I was hoping that we'd see a little bit more of it in the second half, and it didn't really happen as much in the second half, which was a shame. But it would be good to see him play on the left, I think, as well at some point, because if you play McIntyre, one thing I noticed, especially in the first half, is McIntyre often was dropping deep and then playing a long ball over the top and getting, usually it would be Swift running into it from the number 10. And it would be great to see McIntyre put those over the top and for Aziz to be running onto them, because you've got somebody there with some, you know, natural, you know, willingness to want to take on a player.
Yeah, totally. We had that was a pretty frantic spell, that, wasn't it? 3 goals in 3 minutes there. And the third one, frustratingly for us, was the second one for Stoke City from Jacob Brown. Now, Matt, this one takes a deflection. Raphael has this issue with shots from any kind of range. Do we think he's being harsh on him, or should he save it? Because I was a little bit harsh yesterday. I think maybe it's tougher than we realise. I don't know. What do you think?
No, to be honest, I think he's like, the deflection is the most minimal deflection. It might veer half a foot away from where it would have been when it was with him, and he's got, his legs are like a chasm underneath him. It's just like, I mean, it's dreadful defending. Like, I mean, or defending goalkeeping. And it happens quite often with him. Like, I mean, he has a problem with shots from range, but it's time after time after time. It's like, it feels quite bad saying this on the very first podcast of the new season, but it's the same old with Raphael. We've seen this 20 times last season. We've seen it 10 times the season before, and nothing changes.
So yesterday, I'm going to disagree with Matt. Yesterday, the game, I saw the deflection and I thought it looked minimal. I would have agreed with Matt if I hadn't watched it back. But watching it back, I think you can definitely pin or apportion much more of the blame on Liam Moore. He doesn't close the shot down from Brown, and I feel like it's going much wider than it looks like, or it's going much wider into the corner than where the deflection takes it. And I think, you know, Raphael probably has it covered if it doesn't take the deflection. I think it looks like a harsher deflection than it comes across as. I don't think it's a great piece of defending by Liam Moore. I think standing off Brown when he's, you know, 17, 18 yards from goal, you're not achieving anything there. You need to go down and close the ball down. It doesn't, you're basically stood in no man's land there at 10 yards from goal. And actually, any kind of, like, you know, as we saw, any kind of flick which comes off of you is either going to go out for a corner, or you're going to deflect it towards your own goal. You're not really helping your goalkeeper by standing in between the shot and the goal like that. So I think I would apportion less blame to Raphael now than I would have done yesterday had we recorded this straight after the game. I'll give Raphael a little bit of a pass, I think, on the second goal personally.
Yeah, defensively as well, we did look pretty shaky throughout the whole match. That wasn't the first kind of, like, opportunity Stoke, even a better team, would have really capitalised on that yesterday. Morrison, I thought, played okay, but I thought Fletcher really had a good game against him. I don't know whether you noticed that at the game or anything, Matt, but these are kind of players that we have to depend on. And it's just a bit of a worry when you've got Tom McIntyre at left back, and I understand how this scenario has happened because it's all we've got, but we do need to sign someone, if at all possible, within the EFL budgets that they make up magically, depending on how they fill with their magic beans. But if we can get someone who's more established, it just makes it so much easier, because we just look really, just didn't look right at all. And Bristow in that more advanced position, he just really didn't look good there at all. And I feel for him slightly, because that's not his position, is it?
It's not his position. But my feeling at the game anyway, Bristow, he seemed okay going forwards. He seemed perfectly fine going forwards, but whenever the ball came back, he just seemed completely lost. And the link between him and McIntyre was just non-existent. So many times McIntyre found himself, you know, almost hugging the centre backs next to him, and there was just a chasm down our left hand side, Stokes right. And there was so much space in between the two of them as well. It was so easy for Stoke just to get down that side and get in and get around. So much came down that left hand side for them against us yesterday. So it was, I mean, if we can get, well, a left back is an absolute priority after seeing yesterday. You know, it was a feature through the whole game, really, just that left hand side. The centre backs as well didn't cover themselves in glory. They weren't awful, but like say they struggled really with Fletcher. It was almost good when Fletcher came off, but then obviously they bring on their sub and he scores. But I mean, yeah, that left hand side we desperately need reinforcements.
I think you could see it yesterday as well. We were trying to go to five at the back when Stoke were attacking, and Bristow was meant to drop into left wing back, and McIntyre was kind of tucking in and coming in as this third centre back. And it didn't appear like they'd really trained this that much, or they knew kind of when one was going to move in and one was going to come deep. They just didn't have the communication between them at all for to be able to run that kind of, I guess it's not a complex system necessarily, but it requires a lot more communication than a standard formation, I guess. And they just didn't manage it between themselves very well. It doesn't help that neither of them are playing in their favored position, and ultimately, that's where Stoke's winner comes from, is that lack of communication from Bristow and McIntyre, I think.
Yeah, one thing that will help us if Ovi Ejaria comes back on that left-hand side, it naturally balances it out. It's not going to solve all the problems at all, but it does make a big difference. Bristow is incredibly inexperienced in that position and playing at that level. So I don't think we should all be judging him on that. I think it'd be very unfair on that.
No, I wouldn't judge him on yesterday's game whatsoever. It, you know, if you've got a game when you're thrown in for your championship, maybe debut, second game, I'm not sure exactly, but you're throwing him into a position which is definitely not where he would play if he was playing in his favoured position. Playing ahead of a player who's not playing in his favoured position, it's, you know, it's a recipe for things to go wrong, isn't it?
Doesn't breed confidence.
No, there's no natural flow there. So we go into halftime, we're 2-1 down. We're thinking, are we going to get back into that? It looked like it, because attacking-wise, we look pretty decent. And, you know, even without his goal, I thought John Swift was very impressive on his return. His new short haircut, I'm a big fan of that. I think that we're going now the more kind of industrial.
I've got to say, Jesse Pinkman look-alike, right? With the short hair, a little bit.
Could be. Yeah, it could be. If I had any idea who you were talking about, yeah.
I'm sure everybody out there will get it.
Yeah, just me being 1,000 years old that doesn't get that one. But I do think that we kind of like a lot of positives there, but he came off later, which we kind of hope was cramp. But if he's fit, it's really going to help us throughout the season. But we go into the second half kind of doing okay. It's a kind of cut and thrust opening day game, isn't it? Going end to end a little bit, both teams looking a little bit tired. But we get our goal back on the 60th minute from Liam Moore. Now, his goals are quite rare, so we should treasure that moment. But another good delivery from the person I was just talking about, John Swift there, Alex. Decent set piece.
Yeah, the set pieces in the second half were much better than the set pieces in the first half, I've got to say. There was a lot of aiming towards the near post and hitting the first man in the first half. So it was good to see us produce something from a set piece, which, you know, Liam Moore, great run from him into the box for the goal. Fantastic delivery from Swift. He's, you know, aimed it towards towards the penalty spot, I guess. And Liam Moore's kind of run from deep very, very late on, and no one's picked him up from the Stoke side at all. And it's a very good header, I think. Give Liam Moore a lot of credit. keeper's got no chance of getting there once he's got his head on it. And the equaliser was, I think it was probably deserved. We hadn't created a load of chances, but for the first 15 to 20 minutes of that second half, we were definitely on top of Stoke, and it felt like we were definitely the ones who were pushing the game at that point. So 2-2 felt like a fair scoreline once we'd got there.
Yeah, kind of slightly ironic though, Matt, that we scored from the set piece when Stoke had, I've watching it, looked all over us from set pieces. They had two at least very, very good chances when they should have scored, really. One in the first half, one just before we scored our equaliser. And yeah, maybe both teams can't defend. Maybe that was the issue. Maybe that's why it actually made it an entertaining match. After all these years of Reading fans going to see nil-nils at Stoke, you finally got a good one.
Yeah, and it was quite surprising as well, because obviously last year we were pretty resolute defending set pieces as well, and pretty good at them offensively as well. Usually you think if you're good at them going forward, you should be good at defending, because it's the same organisation, it's the same players that are going to be dominating, the same players that are, you know, going either way. But I mean, yesterday really struggled right from the off with defending the set pieces. But I mean, the header was just fantastic. It was an absolute pinpoint header from Moore. Like you say, never normally chips in. I know it's one thing that he's always said that he wants to improve on, his goal scoring, his attacking heading and stuff. But I mean, it was quite ironic as well, because I think Swift, he was quite rusty on his set piece delivery for quite a lot of the game as well. A lot of them were just going straight into the first man. Weren't many actually vintage Swift deliveries, really, but he puts that one right on the money. And I mean, Morgan have wanted a better delivery and dispatches it pretty well as well. So
yeah, pivotal moment of the match was yet to come for us though, sadly, in the 77th minute when John Swift goes off the pitch. Now for me, Alex, we just kind of lost control of the match straight after that. He was the person who was knitting it all together.
Yeah, he was easily our best player, wasn't he, the whole game. And once you take Swift off, it's very difficult to see us kind of controlling the game at all. Tete came on. I don't really have much to comment about Tete's performance. I don't really think he did anything badly or well. But without Swift on the field, we really just couldn't hold the ball particularly and move it forwards. We might have got hold of the ball at the back, but we weren't able to really progress the ball forwards at all. And it kind of just killed us stone dead in terms of trying to actually attack and win the game. Yeah, at the time it looked like a really weird substitution. It can't be one you'd make unless Swift has got some kind of, like, you know, cramp or injury concern. It's just not, wouldn't make any sense. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we're 5 years into John Swift now, and he's not able to finish a 90-minute game. But hey, if you're going to get 80 minutes out of him every week, then we'll take that over having him injured for the next 3 or 4 months.
Yep. I would definitely take that. John Swift, if we have enough of him this season, we'd be fine, as in staying up. I'm not saying anything towards the top of the table, but if he stays fit, we should be okay. He-Man Lucas Jow, despite his kind of not great performance.
Lucas Jow was really poor yesterday. Really, really poor. There was, from where I was stood in the away end, there was a lot of criticism of kind of just, he just didn't offer much. It was very kind of, I hesitate to say lazy, but he just didn't appear to be doing anything particularly for large portions of the game. When the ball came up to him, you know, he was often found 10 yards too deep when we were going forwards. Balls would come up for him to try and, you know, head it down for our midfielders, and he wouldn't necessarily compete for them, or he'd be trying to win a foul or something. It was a frustrating performance, to be honest, watching Jow yesterday. And I can, if he doesn't get goals this season, I can see him getting a lot of stick from Reading fans, certainly.
Yeah. It wasn't great yesterday. There's no point pretending it. Stoke then scored their third goal in the 85th minute. It takes an absolutely huge deflection, but the build-up to the goal, Matt, it really cut us open there. And the dummy by Vrančić, he was upsetting me all day, Vrančić. He was just really, really was. He's just one of those players who's got ability, but also knows the shithousing that is required to win games as well.
It's the brain as well. I mean, it's one step over that just dumbfounds pretty much every Reading defender on the pitch. But I mean, we said it earlier, it was down Reading's left-hand side that had been causing us problems all day. And again, the cross comes in. Great dummy from Vrančić. It's a hideous deflection, absolutely hideous. I mean, if the first one was slight, whatever you want to look at it, the second is just, I mean, it's just so unfortunate. But I mean, I think it was Morrison that let Surridge go, wasn't it? I think, and he just finds himself in space and gets a shot away, and that's what happens when you have shots in the box. You know, they can go anywhere. We didn't really have the luck yesterday of where the balls ended up on the deflections, but yeah, you know, you've just got to look at that left-hand side, I think, because it was just so poor. It was so open. It was just so easy, really. That was the main thing. It was just too easy for Stoke to get that.
You could see it when, I mean, Bristow he's pushed and he's pressed to try and win the ball back high up the field. And once the pass comes from quite deep, just outside the Reading half. And it basically just takes him straight out of the game. But unfortunately, McIntyre's already tucked in, so you just ended up with a free man on the right hand side before the goal, and it McIntyre comes out leaving just acres of space because he's come out to try and stop the ball from coming in. He leaves acres of space behind him because we've been set up to play three centre backs when Stoke attack, and obviously once if Bristow is out of position, McIntyre is then pulled out of position as well, and it leaves Vrančić able to pull off that dummy. It's a pretty well worked goal from Stoke. It's unfortunate that it's taken a deflection for us, but I think it's one of those just unlucky incidents, isn't it? Where the deflection just takes it completely the wrong way from Raphael and ends up in the goal rather than ends up going out for a corner.
Yeah, definitely can't blame Raphael for that one. That's a certain. He managed to save that one. Wow. He needs a new 10-year contract because you'd have to be Superman to save that one. Pavlović. Now, Pavlović, I think, is the right manager for Reading, and he should be our manager, but he's now got one win in 12 matches. That's not a great record, however you dress it up. I know towards the end of the season, last season, we kind of knew that we weren't going to go up, so the motivation wasn't high. And I know there'll be some people listening thinking you should be motivated for every single game, and I understand that. But you also have to be realistic when you realise that you can't achieve your goal, and that is promotion. So it's just natural. They are humans. They don't quite work at the same level. But substitutions, I sometimes find baffling. And he did them last season, and he's doing them again this season. The reason we lost yesterday wasn't because of bringing off Femi Azeez and putting Tom Holmes up front. Now, that was a bit odd. But for me, if he put Josh Lauren a little bit deeper there in that second half, especially when we've lost John Swift, you know, being substituted, I just think it would have made it a little bit harder for Stoke City. I understand he's thinking, I want to go for the win here, Alex, but I think his in-game management just worries me slightly.
Yeah, it does. I think his substitutions have always been a little bit concerning. I don't think there was much in the way of, you know, of not hope, but I don't think there was much in the way of like plan of throwing Tom Holmes on. We've got 2 minutes to go and we're 3-2 down. It very much felt like a desperation kind of substitute where you've thrown your centre back up front to just try and hope that you win the ball somehow.
Goal-scoring machine, Tom Holmes.
Well, yes, but I mean, I'm just not going to... I don't feel like I can criticise him too much because it's like... No. He just doesn't have any other option once, you know, I understand, yes, you can leave Azeez on, or yes, you could throw Kamara on. But in reality, we didn't have any control of the ball at this point anyway because of Swift coming off. So the game essentially had turned into us kicking it long and hoping for the best. So I don't think it was a good plan necessarily, but I do think it probably is the only realistic option we had to try and even get any kind of chance at that point. Obviously, it didn't work. I don't think we actually created a chance after Holmes came on particularly. Stoke kind of sorted the game out very easily. So it's, yeah, I think unless we're going to be able to start naming other attacking players on the bench, then Swift and Zhao are able to finish 90 minutes, it's going to be very difficult, I guess, for us to see many kind of game-changing substitutions later on in games.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the issue, isn't it? With Panovic, I think he's done a great job of bringing the club together. And the situation we're in, let's not forget, he hasn't been able to make a signing. He's been here for over a year now. The Ovidjari one happened before he actually arrived. I mean, I'm sure he was happy with that. But you can't see many managers. I can't remember a Reading manager ever not being able to make a signing in a whole year of being there. That just seems such a difficult situation to be in. And constant with the FFP issues that we've got, will we get any signings? Nobody knows. But we have got two games coming up. We've got one against Swansea City in the League Cup when we can rotate our massive squad. And we've also got Preston North End in the league next week. And they obviously suffered a big home defeat against Hull City 4-1. So I don't think they're going to be flying with confidence. That doesn't mean that they can't win. Obviously, we see that with the Championship and the magic that Reading FC can give to other teams. Let's remember that Stoke City hadn't won in 11 years on the first day of the season until yesterday. But how do you see both those games going, Matt? First of all, the League Cup one.
Swansea, who knows? Who are we even going to put out for that game? You know, I mean, we've got such a limited squad. You're almost probably looking at the same people we played, yesterday, putting them out. You know, you might rotate Puskas in. Past that, you've got such limited options unless you put out the under-23s, but that's probably most the under-18 team. So, you know, it's not a great situation at the moment. At least they're going to be getting game time and game fitness, but who knows? You know, it's going to be nice to have a competitive game back at the Medeski. Obviously, it's one thing having friendlies back at the Medeski, but it'd be good to have the League Cup game there.
Select Car Leasing Stadium.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Can't miss that one out now.
I understand. It's easy to do, isn't it?
Have it. the Preston game, they're a very, very poor team, I think, right now. You know, they're very much like us at the moment. If we want to be picking up points early on, you've got to be looking at Preston game as a chance to get points. You know, it'd be a massive missed opportunity if you come away from that or come away from these first two games and with zero points. I think, you know, social media had a bit of a storm yesterday. If you lose next week, it's going to be even more of a meltdown, I think. But I think we can beat them. But it's going to be a tough one. But we know the season's going to be tough and long. So yeah.
Yeah, Alex, just on the Preston match, what's your prediction going to be for that one?
I think we've got enough quality to beat Preston, at least in our first 11. So I'm going to say we'll beat Preston 2-0 or 2-1.
Okay, take that.
For the Swansea game, yeah. Can we just flip a coin? Is that
yes,
allowed?
Exactly. No.
Swansea don't want to play the game either. Like,
no, Swansea will beat us though. Come on, this is how it works, isn't it, with Swansea?
Swansea just hold that curse, don't they? But neither club really wants to play this game, do they? Can't they just let the EFL know that we'll just draw the name out of a hat and whoever wins wins.
I'm sure that, yeah, one way of making good friends with the EFL right now, just forfeit matches. It would be good. Your prediction for the Preston match then, Matt?
Preston, I think 2-1. I think we can, like Alex says, I think we've got enough quality in that starting 11 to beat Preston. And I think, like I say, I think that game is one that they've got to be looking at to try and take some early points because, they're not in a good state. like us. So it's like they'll be thinking the same against us, that being said. But coming off a 4-1 opening day loss to Hull, you know, we got to be looking to win that. I think we will, 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win as well. We do look like we might score goals, and I'm going to go for us to do that. And I'm going to go for Femi Aziz to get his first goal. Be interesting to see what he's like in front of goal, because his whole round play looks good. But what's he going to be like when he gets genuine chances to score? I hope he looks great. I really do. That's what I want. I want us to find a 20-goal striker who's got pace and can hold the ball up. But yeah, yesterday we lost. It's not a disaster. It's the first day of the season. We also lost in the 106 season. You know what's happening. It's 107. So thanks a lot for listening. And we'll be back with the preview show with Matt Williamson hosting it for Friday. And I'll be back hosting the one post-match three points against Preston. I'm dreading that, saying that already. Cheers.